Good morning. If you'd like to turn with me again to John chapter 14. Verse 18 says these words, very precious words, very personal words. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In 1952, just after the Queen's father died, she said these words, I declare before you all, with my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service, but I shall not have the strength to carry out this alone. And she asked for the support of the people who were listening to that very courageous speech all these years ago. So much of what she learned about the monarchy was from her father. And now he wasn't with her. She had to serve without the father. How was she going to cope? How was she going to cope on the days when she was full of self-doubt or fear or a sense of the task is too big? But today we celebrate the fact that she did know the Father. She knew the Heavenly Father. So much greater counsel came from him than even from her earthly father, that she's able to say in the front of the books that we will be handing out today, thank you for praying for me all these years. Thank you for praying for me. God has answered the prayers within the nation for her because she does know the Father. She is saved. People sing, God save the Queen. That prayer has been answered. She knows what it is to be safe and secure forever, to be eternally safe and secure, because she knows the Father God. And what about us today? For the challenges that we are facing, are we facing these challenges alone, or are we facing these challenges in the Father's love? I believe that God wants to speak through this scripture and through me today. That's what the Father can do. He speaks through the Word to us today. And he wants to say, I love you. Do not be afraid. I will not leave you. You can do even greater things if you trust in my love. Every preacher has a topic very close to their heart, a topic that they never get tired of talking about. For Jesus, it was talking about the Father. We see this most prominently in John's Gospel, over 120 times speaking about God as his Father. Something of a revolution, even within Judaism. It was more than just saying Father. It was Abba. When a little boy falls in the street in the Middle East, they cry out, Abba, Father. And the Father comes and picks them up and comforts them. When the little boy is afraid because people are ganging up on him, he cries out, Abba, Father. And his Father comes and defends him. This is the word that Jesus used. Not the religious Hebrew word, but the everyday Aramaic word, Abba. Perhaps the four most important words that Jesus ever taught was that when we come before God in prayer, we are to say, our Abba in heaven. Many of you here today will know the rest of the prayer. Lord, your kingdom come, your values to be seen in our society, your rule and your reign to come, your will to be done. that you would provide for my daily needs, that you would forgive my sins, and that you would help me to forgive others. But long before that list of things that we want God to do, before all of that, he says, come to me as Abba Father. And is that what we do as we set out at the beginning of each week to serve God? Do we come to him as Abba Father? It was Jesus' favorite subject. We see in John 13, if you have a Bible, turn with me please to John 13. John 13 to 17 are known as the farewell discourses. In Jesus famously washing the disciples' feet, but before he did that amazing act of service, which is known as perhaps one of the greatest service of all, apart from dying on the cross. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 13. It was before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. John's gospel tells us that Jesus came from the Father. In very high language, it speaks about how God became a human being. But in amongst all that high language, it's that the dearly loved Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. He came from the Father. And here, as he prepares to go to the cross, he knows that he's going to leave this world and go back to the Father. And the whole next four chapters are all about the crisis of absence, the crisis that the one who defended them, the one who guided them, the one who was there by their side every day is no longer going to be there anymore. And we see this question coming from Philip. Show us the Father. Show us the Father. This is a picture of John F. Kennedy working at his desk, and his son is playing underneath the desk. You see, everyone else called him Mr. President. Everybody else really struggled to get an appointment. But this little boy, he knows that this is his Abba. He's not just Mr. President, he's Abba. And it's a picture, it's a picture for us to help to know that the most powerful person in the universe is also our Abba. And this is what Jesus modeled throughout his whole life. And the disciples' eyes widened whenever Jesus would talk about his Father. It was so amazing that he would have this close, dependent relationship. He says, everything that I do because the Father tells me to do it. It's not just me doing it, it's the Father doing it through me. I want to glorify the Father. I live to please the Father. He just never stopped talking about the Father. And as he was preparing to leave this world, as he was preparing to go to the cross, he said, you can do even greater things than me if you trust in the Father. See, if you turn over to chapter 14, you can see that the chapter begins with this crisis of absence. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And then looking forward to verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. But we do get troubled. We do get afraid. Whether it's problems within the family, whether it's problems at work, whether it's challenges in our service for God, we do get afraid. We do get troubled. And the answer to our fearful hearts is the Father's love, because the Father's love, His perfect love, fills our hearts and it casts out all fear. It may only be for a day, but then the next day, we begin the day in the Father's love, and His perfect love fills us and casts out fear. And then the next day, we come to the Father. So we have to know this Father. But the disciples, and Philip in particular, at this moment of crisis of absence, he articulates what is the cry of our own hearts today. Show us the Father, and that will be enough. Show us the Father, and that will be sufficient. If you show us this Father, Jesus, this Father that you drew such strength from, that you drew such comfort from, that you drew such guidance from, that you drew such joy from, if you show us this Father, that will be enough. We can cope with you leaving if you show us how to know the Father. This Father who is intimate, who can be known intimately. This Father who is an inclusive Father. Jesus said, our Father, not my Father, but our Father. He shares this wonderful relationship that He has with the Father, with all who follow Him. Of course, Jesus' relationship with the Father is unique. He is the divine Son of God. But the pattern of His life in His humanity is to be followed by all who follow Him. Daily dependence on the Father. Intimate, inclusive, and infinite. Because He is not like an earthly Father. He's majestic. He's perfect. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And yet, we can call Him Father. So in answer to Philip's question, show us the Father and that will be enough. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one who comes to the Father can come except through me. And that is a message today in our culture which would say that there are many ways to know God. And Jesus would say, no, you can only know God through me. If you follow the way of Islam, it's like a master-slave relationship. It's about obedience, like a slave. But Jesus says in John 15 that if we put our trust in the Father, it's like being a friend. I no longer call you slaves because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. And how can we become friends with God? We are enemies with God because of our rebellion, because of our sin, because of our stubborn decision to go our own way and to continue going our own way, to live as if the Father doesn't exist, to have a fatherless life, a fatherless faith. Atheism is a fatherless way to live. The God the Father wants to love us. He wants to help us. But we live as if He doesn't exist. But as we recognize that that is a wrong way to live, and we confess it, we ask God for forgiveness, we turn around and we say, I want to trust in you. I want to trust in you. I want to trust in what Jesus did when He died on that cross. If we repent of our sins and we trust in what Jesus did on the cross, He will come to us. He will come and live within us. He does not want us to be living like orphans. He wants us to be living like sons and daughters of the King. But in order to have that relationship, we have to trust in His gift. And if we do that, we can come to the Father. When this happens, wonderful things flow from that. Look at the promise of the Father. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. See, even as Christians, we do not live sometimes in the light of the Father's promises. This chapter, chapter 14, is very Trinitarian. By that, I mean that God is Father, God is Son, God is Holy Spirit, the three in one, equal in power and glory. And Jesus says, get to know me. Get to know me and get to know what I've done for you. And then you will know God better. You will know God the Father. The more you can get to know me, the better you can get to know the Father. Because we can't see the Father, but we can see how Jesus lived on this earth. We can see that He was full of grace, that He was full of truth. And as we see Jesus, we see the Father. But also, as we trust in Jesus, God comes and lives inside us through His Spirit. So we get to know God the Spirit. I want to ask you this morning, do you know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I guess Jesus, in many ways, is the easiest person in the Godhead to know because it's front and center of all the gospel accounts. But to fully know God, we also need to know Him as Abba Father, and we need to know Him as Holy Spirit. Why do we not know the Father? Why are the words Father quite difficult? Perhaps it's because we have a painful experience of our earthly fathers. Perhaps our earthly fathers were taken from us through disease, through death. Perhaps our earthly fathers were remote from us for some reason. Maybe through overwork. Maybe being away from home. And when we read that God is a Father, we find it hard to relate to that. And sometimes within our hearts there can be a wound which makes us feel awkward even thinking about God as Father. This is a problem right across the world. Presidents like Barack Obama have spoken about it. Ian Duncan Smith spoke about it when he started his Center for Social Justice, that the problem of fatherlessness. I went to Paris and was in Notre Dame Cathedral, and in that cathedral there was no sense of the presence of God. It was a really dark place. It wasn't. But then next door, I went into a bookshop called Shakespeare and Company. And it's an amazing second-hand bookshop, full of nooks and crannies, a piano, a chessboard, and very surprisingly, single beds. And in one particular room on the wall was post-it notes from young people from all around the world. It said on that notice board, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, you may entertain angels without knowing it." And it was a place of hospitality, of welcome, of love. And some young people posted on that notice board, "You have been a father to me," to the man who owned that bookshop. And our Father in heaven is a Father who welcomes us, who longs for us. Just read the prodigal son. Whether we are rebels who went to the far-off country, or whether we stayed at home and stayed distant from him, he just longs for us to come home. He says, "All that I have is yours. Come in. Come into the party. Come and experience that joy once again. All that I have is yours." He does not treat us as orphans. He treats us as heirs. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory." So as we find it hard to follow Jesus, as we find it hard to fulfill the ministry that he's given to us, let us remember that we have a glorious inheritance awaiting us at the end of the journey. That God has an inheritance that will never perish, will never spoil, will never fade, that no one can take it from us. And while we wait, he offers us his presence. Moving back to John 14. Verse 25, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." See, if we choose today to walk out of this service unaffected, then all we will have is what the world offers us, which is not peace. But if we choose today to take God's hand and trust him with the whole of our lives and to receive afresh his love, then we will receive his peace today. We will receive his love today, his perfect love, which drives out all fear. And our service for him will not be the service of a slave, like the elder brother in the prodigal son. It will be the service of a son who delights, and I'm speaking to ladies and to men, because in Roman law, the sons got the inheritance, not the daughters. So speaking to male and female, we are all sons. Receive that inheritance from the Father today. not as a slave, but as a son. So the practical point that we need to do now is to come to the Father. Come to the Father. So let us just quieten our hearts. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Father God, you are all-powerful and all-knowing, majestic and perfect in all your ways. And we choose to believe today that you are our Father, you are our Abba. We choose by faith today to believe that we are your beloved. We thank you for Jesus and for his blood shed on the cross, which taketh away all of our sins and hurls them into the deepest part of the ocean, as far as the east is from the west. So great is your forgiveness. So far have you removed our sins from us. And so we choose today not to believe the father of lies, the devil, who wants to cut us off from your presence, but we choose to believe the word of God, that you will not leave us as orphans, but you will come to us. Those of us here today who have never put their trust in Jesus, do that now by confessing your sins and believing in what Jesus has done for you in dying on the cross. Just in the silence, do that now. Receive his forgiveness and his peace. As we have believed in our hearts, we pray that you would help us to confess with our mouths that we belong to the Father, that we are not ashamed to belong to the Father, and that we are not going to hold back from serving you, for living our life to please the Father. Help us to do that. Fill us with your Holy Spirit now and give us strength to follow you. Give us strength to follow you. Lord, where there is pain from our earthly father, we pray right now that you'd minister to us, that you would comfort us. Come, Holy Spirit, and minister your comfort and your healing to the wounded heart. O Lord, we thank you for your invitation, and we receive your love. We receive your peace. And so, Father, we take your hand and we walk into this new week, and we pray that we would have your joy. Restore your joy to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as the service has progressed, I believe that the song we sang earlier is the best one to finish on the I will trust in you alone. So if that would be okay, Rory, if we could sing that one.